Well, last weekend, we kicked off our celebration of Advent, and we began looking at several pictures that are found all throughout Scripture, so we can celebrate the one that's born, Jesus, Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. We also wanted to grow in our anticipation of Christ's return. And that song we just sang, O Come Emmanuel, is actually filled with lots of pictures that come straight from Scripture. And woven together, they kind of create a tapestry for us to truly understand who Jesus is. And that full understanding of Jesus isn't just about beginning as a baby. It goes all the way actually back to creation. It's filled with what's said about Jesus in prophecy. It certainly includes the gospel story of Jesus' arrival here on earth and how he lived and how he loved while he lived here. And it also includes the rest of the book that talks about his coming back. And this morning, I want to just encourage you, as we look at a couple more pictures of Jesus, we're going to be looking at Jesus who is wisdom and the word. And that tapestry, if you look at the back of it, has a lot of knots and threads. I don't want you to get too worried about the knots and threads this morning. I want you to really look at the picture of Jesus that's coming together as we look at what was said about him all the way back from creation until his coming again. So let me begin with a question. Who is it that is somebody that you would consider that's wise? Maybe as you think about that person, maybe you've seen that Carfax commercial where that person has to make a decision of somebody they could rely on to tell if a vehicle has been damaged or not. There's two identical vehicles sitting there. One's had damage and been repaired, and the other one hasn't. And the Carfax Fox guy poses the question, which one do you think is the one who's had damage? And the person choosing has to think of someone they could ask for wisdom from. And somebody thinks of like their kindergarten teacher. Maybe she could help determine which car has been damaged or not. Another person, like their high school football coach, comes on the scene and kind of helps. And every time the person they kind of rely on chooses the wrong one. And so that's why you need Carfax to help you understand which vehicle has been damaged or not, right? So today what we want to do is kind of determine and really identify, take some inventory of where we look for wisdom. It's been said that King Solomon, he was the son of David, who was the ruler of Israel after his father. It's been said that he is one of the wisest persons that who've ever lived. A true inspection of his life might leave you to question that because he made some really foolish decisions in his life. But that doesn't discount what the Holy Spirit inspired to write through Solomon, especially in several of the books of the Bible that actually are written by Solomon. It doesn't discount the wisdom that the Holy Spirit wants us to receive through even Solomon. And so the book of Proverbs, it's chock full of wisdom from God that came to us through Solomon. And one of the things that Solomon does throughout the book of Proverbs, he personifies wisdom in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that he does that is actually picturing Jesus as the fulfillment of wisdom. Let me take you to one of those places. It's in Proverbs chapter 8. And in verse 22, this is Solomon writing. He's writing about wisdom. Look what he says. The Lord brought me, meaning wisdom, the Lord brought wisdom forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed, again, wisdom, long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be, where there were no watery depths, I was given birth, when there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth, before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. Goes on to say this. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. One of the things that Solomon does is he personifies wisdom, and even though it may not be an exact description of Jesus, it does provide a very strong background to what the New Testament reveals about Jesus, and beginning even with his presence and his participation in creation. One of my favorite records of the first advent of Jesus, his first arrival to our planet, doesn't mention anything about animals or a barn or a manger, even gifts of a magi. It's actually the beginning of the gospel written by the apostle John. And he uses some very cool pictures to remind us of who Jesus truly is. If you have a copy of the Bible, or if you want to use the one in the seat back in front of you, crack it open to John. We're going to spend some time looking at some of the threads that the Bible shows us, that draws a picture of who Jesus is in that first chapter of John. If you've only read the first page of the Bible, you might be familiar with the words that John uses to begin his gospel. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In John 1, 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John chose a very widely used philosophical word that was also familiar in Jewish wisdom literature to describe Jesus, and that word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. It conveys the notion of divine self-expression or speech. It's translated to the word, right? Not any word, but the word. And if you notice, it's capital W every time that logos is translated into word by John. God was revealing himself to humanity. He'd actually chosen to do that through all that he had made. Paul told the Romans this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that men or people are without excuse." Sometimes words help pictures come alive. So, in addition to letting all creation reveal to all creation who God is, God revealed himself with words. God's words actually brought into existence the world that we know it. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that was followed by waters that were scattered or separated and then gathered and then brought forth living creatures. Land produced vegetation, animals populated the earth, and finally, man and woman were created in the image of God. God's attempt was to make himself known to humanity, but he realized he needed to put some skin in the game. And so God came down to our world. He had conversation and interaction with that first man and woman. And when they disobeyed his instructions, God actually made animal coverings to cover over their nakedness and their shame. Genesis 3, verse 21 talks about God doing this, and many people think that's another one of these early pictures of who Jesus is and who he would be. After using words to make a covenant with his people and giving them instructions on how to live lives that please him, according to his design and his desire, well, then God made a personal appearance to our planet. The Word that was with God from the very beginning, the Word that was God, part of that plural reference we read about in Genesis 1:20, where God says, "Let us make man in our image," that God, he put on flesh himself. Verse 14 of John 1 reads, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Just as spoken word often reveals our invisible thoughts, so the Word made flesh, the living Word, made an invisible God visible. John says he tabernacled with us. That's what the root word says when he says he dwelt with us. And John's drawing back on that picture in the Old Testament of tabernacle, where that was a place where God and humanity would interact. What John is saying is now that interaction happens in Jesus. He's tabernacled among us. It reiterates God's greatest desire. That's to have fellowship and relationship with us. By tracing the life of Jesus, we can see God's power and his character on display, the glory of the Lord, John says. Because Jesus was fully God, everything that's true about God is also true about Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." In the way that Jesus lived, in the way that he loved, and in the powerful way that he used words, words to heal, words to teach, words to calm the storms, words to raise the dead, we see God revealed. The wisdom of God was on full display in Jesus. In verse 3, it says this, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Since Jesus was part of creating everything, he knows how it all works. His wisdom is on display in the way that the human body digests food, the way that the human race can reproduce itself. His creativity is on display by the shape and form of a giraffe. Don't you look at that and go, wow, that's creative, right? In the same way that a zebra's hide is so much different than the hide of a horse and a mule or a donkey, even though they have the same body shape, right? God's creativity is on display in the beautiful colors of the leaves that fall, or by the uniqueness of a snowflake in the winter. And here in Indiana, we get to see both of those at the same time, right? Yeah, crazy. Well, his power is on display in the roar of ocean waves, in the thunder from lightning and in storms, and also in the miraculous way that he provides healing and deliverance over sickness and over addiction. By watching the way that Jesus interacts with people while he was here on earth, we can get a clear picture of God's heart that's full of love and compassion, that's full of humility and servanthood, that's full of peace and joy. And John uses one of my favorite descriptions of Jesus. He is full of grace and truth. That's something I would love to emulate in my own life. I've just found it so difficult, especially without the help of the Holy Spirit. As we think about Jesus being the wisdom and the word, let me ask you maybe another question. Have you ever received really good advice? My wife and I are going to be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary next week. And I remember the night of our wedding. We were there at the reception with a lot of our family and friends. And I have an older brother. He passed away unexpectedly several years ago. But on that night of my wedding night, as the reception was kind of winding down, my older brother Mark came up and he said, "Can I talk to you for a moment?" I could tell in his voice, he was something real serious. So he kind of pulled me away from the crowd and he put his arm around me. And I thought, here's a moment where my older brother is going to give me some really good marital advice. And so he began by saying, "Hey, brother, I've just got some advice I want to share with you tonight." And I said, "I'm ready." He said, "Don't eat the top layer of that wedding cake a year later. Eat it tonight on your honeymoon because it's going to be really awful a year later. We did that a year later. It was so gross. We threw it in the trash. Just take it on your honeymoon and eat it." And so we did. That night, we got to the hotel room, and the rest of that week while we were on our honeymoon, we had some cake. It was great. I don't always take the advice I get. I mean, that was one moment where I did. Maybe you find yourself in the same way. Maybe you're one of those people who didn't choose to read the instructions of how to assemble that new Christmas tree. And so instead of it being by the fireplace in your front room, it's in the garage or in the trash because you quit. You just gave up, right? Maybe you're one of those people who kind of doubt the doctors. And so even though the prescription said take 2 pills in the morning and in the evening, you didn't really follow that advice. And so now you wonder why you're still feeling kind of wrong, kind of ill, right? Maybe you're one of those people who fight with Siri or the GPS because you think you know better the path or the course or to get to that location. Maybe on a more serious note, maybe you think your preferences or your desires will bring you meaning and fulfillment in life instead of just following God's ways. Well, let's be honest, we're not the first ones who have failed to recognize that God's ways are better and to maybe even see the full picture. Adam and Eve, they thought that they knew better, that they would be smarter and wiser if they could just take one little bite of that piece of fruit. And though God had promised Solomon that he would give him wisdom, in fact, he promised he would give him all the material things that Solomon didn't ask for, he still didn't follow God's instructions. He took many foreign wives and many more concubines who led him to worship false gods. They turned his heart away from God. And that caused all kinds of dysfunction and destruction in his own family and also for the whole nation of Israel. Sin always has consequences. Despite all the warnings from prophets and the exile and the bondage, the nation of Israel, they just kept on sinning. But God kept on pursuing humanity. He showed up in person. John 1 verse 10 says this, "He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to a world that was his own, but his own did not receive him." When I read those words this past week, it just perplexed me. Why did so many people miss the wisdom from God through Jesus? I mean, at the least, it may have just been confusion. Maybe those people in the first century, the religious leaders, those in political power, they just didn't get who Jesus was. Maybe they misunderstood his purpose in coming. They struggled with his teachings. Maybe they just didn't They just wanted things to stay the same, or maybe they wanted things to go back to how they always were. Even those who decided to follow Jesus, they seemed really inconsistent in their commitment to live like him and to love like he did. At the most, I think it was just pure rejection. And Jesus wasn't one who kind of like minced words. He didn't keep things hidden in the fine print. He didn't sugarcoat the choice. In fact, Matthew recorded some of the words of Jesus when he wrote this. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Later, Jesus said these words, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." The wisdom of Jesus, it is countercultural. It will require those who follow him to swim upstream against culture, to make sacrifices, to be willing to lose everything, to have the life that he offers. And those who do, they find it's worth it. Verse 12, John says this, "To all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human's decision or a husband's will, but born of God." The Word, Jesus, he's the source of life, both physical through creation, but also spiritual. Jesus is not some just ordinary man who is a good teacher, but he's our hope, he's our life, he is the eternal Word of God. And anyone can listen to him and follow the living word. It's not reserved for just a few select people, restricted to people who have a certain nationality or who were born to great parents who have a stable family or just the people who got lucky and won the lottery. Life comes by placing our faith and trust in the wisdom of God, the Word made flesh, the one promised, the Messiah, the Savior, letting Emmanuel take up residence in our life, in his presence, as well as being president of our life. It's born of God through him, through faith in him. Receiving and believing the word is the path to life. Trusting God's wisdom, the promises that he reveals in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus brings life. It allows us to, allows him to save us from ourselves, because he's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only true way to life. Jesus is the author of life. He was present and active in creating the world. He has the ability and the authority to give life. He came to bring life, life to the full, everlasting life, eternal life. The Word spoke creation into existence. The Word revealed the character, power, and heart of God. The Word pursued humanity in love, and the Word provided wisdom to know how life works best. The Word showed up in human flesh so that you and I could have a firsthand picture of what it looks like to truly love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love other people the way that he would. And the Word, well, the Word provided salvation by proclaiming an end to sin and declaring the debt paid, by canceling the punishment of sin, by being a sacrificial lamb and dying on the cross for our sins. And the Word, well, the Word gets the final word. And he said the final word is this: "I'm coming back." Revelation gives us a picture of that when John, who's recording the things, the pictures he sees about Jesus, writes these words, Jesus speaking, saying, "Lord, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." The same word that spoke the world into existence has promised to bring an end to the world as we know it. All throughout the book of Revelation, God presents picture after picture of who Jesus truly is, so that we will grow in our worship of him, but also grow in our anticipation of his return. One of those pictures we just read about, it's him being the Alpha and the Omega. Some of you recognize those from your college days. You know those are Greek letters, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. A picture of who Jesus is, that he was there at the beginning and he will be there at the end. The creation of the world came through his powerful word. And the consummation of the world will come through his powerful word as well. He says, I'm coming soon. Alongside all the prophecies, alongside all the promises that reveal the glorious kingdom of our God, Jesus is revealed as the completion of them all. He is the mystery revealed. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the word. He is wisdom. All along this same thread of revealing who Jesus is, it comes with a warning. That's some of the wisdom that you should follow as well. Like, I just saw a picture on Facebook of a wrapper that goes around a hamburger, and printed on the paper says, do not eat this paper. Really, has our culture come to that lowest of a point that we have to be reminded, eat the hamburger, but not the paper? There's all kinds of warning labels around us. And God, on a regular basis, provides us the same warning, and it's this: hear my words and obey them. I mean, think about it. Adam and Eve, they could have avoided all the curse and consequences of sin if they just listened to God and obeyed him. Solomon, though he had been given the wisdom from God, he wrote about all this beautiful wisdom. The problem is he never followed his own writing. The irony of that is so telling. All the things that God inspired Solomon to write, it just seems like he never got around to following it. It doesn't discount what God revealed through Solomon. In fact, the words that we looked at earlier in Proverbs chapter 8, I want you to hear it again, but this time I want you to picture Jesus saying these very words. It's on the screen. Picture Jesus saying these words to us. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. When those who were following Jesus were beginning to really struggle with the words he was saying, his teachings, many came to a point where they just stopped listening and they turned away from him. And in that moment, Jesus actually questioned those who were closest to him, his best friends, his 12 disciples. And he asked them, are you going to leave too? I love Simon Peter. Love that dude. Look what he says. Simon Peter responded, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus came as wisdom and the word, not just for a picture of us to worship, but for one to follow, one to submit to, one to obey. Alex Thompson, in his book, the second chapter, where he talks about wisdom and the word, he writes these words when he says this: wisdom has come from on high to show us the path of knowledge and to teach us how to go in its way. Although we in the world did not know true wisdom, wisdom came down to us and revealed God's glory. All are invited to receive and believe in this wisdom, to come to know Jesus as Messiah, and to be drawn back to God through obedience to wisdom in the flesh. All of the sages and philosophers seeking wisdom are pointed toward the arrival of wisdom in the manger. Although we could not find our way to wisdom, wisdom came down to us to show us the path to God. The second verse of O Come, Emmanuel offers us a bird's eye view of the arrival of Jesus the Messiah. Drawing on the story of creation in Genesis and the role of wisdom in creation from Proverbs, the Advent hymn captures the universal longing for wisdom as a way to make sense of the world we live in. The wisdom of God has the power to make us into new creation. And that's why the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word truly is our only hope. He's before all things. He's above all things. He's the end of all things. The Apostle Paul does a great job drawing some pictures of who Jesus truly is as well. And in his writing to the Colossians, he's actually addressing a false teaching about Jesus, and he chooses to use a familiar song to them to draw their attention back to who Jesus truly is. Listen to the words that Paul shared with the Colossians. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Because of who Jesus truly is, we can come to know who God fully is. And so this Christmas, I'm challenging all of us to worship him because of all that he's revealed about himself through this powerful word, revealed by creation, spoken in the promises we find all throughout Scripture and fleshed out by the Son. Because of who Jesus truly is, you and I can be reconciled back to God because of his powerful word. Because of the powerful word Jesus spoke from the cross when he said these three words, "It is finished." The punishment for sin has been taken. The payment for sin has been paid. The bondage of sin has been broken and death has been defeated. And that's why we pray and sing, "O come, Emmanuel, ransom us from the captivity of our sin. Help us to understand your wisdom and to walk in it." Those are not just songs to sing. Those are not just prayers to pray. Those are ways to live. And the wisdom and word of God becomes reality in us for a world to notice and to follow. And so my challenge to all of us is first to ask you, where are you getting your wisdom? Where are you looking for that wisdom? Who are you looking for it from? I think many of us in this room, the first thing we do when we get up is turn on the TV to some news station. Or we watch the syndicated news shows. Or we open up our phone and we get right on social media or some other outlet to begin our day. I think the best thing we could do is first turn to God's wisdom before we let anything else try to fill our time or certainly our mind. Where are you getting your wisdom? Who are you getting your wisdom from? And let me just be frank, if it's anybody or anything other than God himself, you're setting yourself up for failure. The words are, you love death more than life. Who you get your wisdom from is the place to begin. And the second question is, are you actually listening to the wisdom that God has provided? He's revealed himself through creation. He's revealed himself through the promises that are found, as well as the instruction in his word. And if that wasn't good enough, he slapped all of that together in the flesh of his own son and sent him here to earth so we didn't have to guess at what it looked like. So we didn't have to find it on our own. But we have a picture and a pattern and a Lord to follow that would allow his way of living and his way of loving to be incarnated in us, so that the world around us would recognize the wisdom of God. And they'd be able to follow that example as we follow the example in front of us. Will you listen to the word? Will you receive the good news about who Jesus truly is and place all of your faith and trust in him, not just for salvation, but for the way of living every single day, every breath that we have? When you do, you'll find that you experience life to the fullest. That's God's promise, not mine. And it begins right here and now. And you can also have the confidence that you'll have eternal life in heaven with God forever. God's word is very clear about why Jesus came, to reconcile humanity back to God. Jesus is the fulfillment of every prophecy and every promise that God made about who the Messiah is. He's the one that we look for to return as a completion or a consummation of God's ultimate desire. And that ultimate desire is to be with us forever.